Dear Heavenly Father, now we turn this over to you. You already know who was going to be here today. You know who has a tender heart. And Lord, I pray that you would work not only in young people's hearts today, but in adults' hearts, teenagers' hearts, young children's hearts today, dear Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign among all of us this day on this campus, that your name might be honored and glorified and someone would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We're going to give you the honor and glory for all that's accomplished. And we thank you for the Word of God that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been talking this quarter, just the first lesson last week, we're talking about a line in the sand. We drew a line in the sand last week and said, we're going to stand by this land, by this line in the sand. This line in the sand is based on our Bible convictions. We must know what we believe and why we believe it. If we don't know what we believe, we can be turned by all these doctrines that are floating out in the world today. So we must know what we believe and why we believe it, and it must be from the Word of God, not from hearsay, not from something you dreamed up, or not something you read in some book, but the book, the Word of God, is where we build our Bible-based principles. And that's where we must find those Bible-based principles. So this line in the sand that we're talking about this month, this quarter, we're going to be looking at Bible convictions. And I've taken a stand on some of these convictions, and I will not budge on them. And my convictions are based on the Word of God. And as we looked last week at these convictions, the first one, paramount, is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm not going to budge on that. He is not a Son of God. He is not one of the gods. He is the Son of God. Today is just as important as all of these Bible convictions are important. The Word of God. This is the Word of God. I believe that, not just in my mind, but in my heart. This is the Word of God. People don't believe that today. That's why we have so many translations today. They don't believe that we can have in our hands the literal, inspired, and Word of God. But it's right here. The Word of God that we hold in our hands, that we are to cherish. Do you cherish the Word of God? We are to cherish the Word of God. We are to read the Word of God. We are to study the Word of God. We are to share, not about the Word of God, but share from the Word of God. We are to teach from this book. And we are to seek guidance and strength from the words found in this book. Have you ever really thought about what you're holding in your hands? These words that are in this, yes, they're in English. The original was written in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. But I believe in the King James Version of the Bible for the English-speaking people of the world today, the King James, not the New King James, the King James Version of the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And it's preserved for me today to study and to cherish and to love and to share and to teach from. So have you ever really thought what you're holding? All the copies that we have in our house that are just on bookshelves. And then there's people in the world today that don't have one copy and are begging for a copy. How did we receive it? Why is it called the Bible? Why does it have stamped on the side or on the front, Holy Bible? Which version is the correct one, or are all the same? What does the Bible say about itself? Why is the Bible so important to the Christian's life? And does the Bible hold a purpose for those that are not saved? We're going to answer those questions, not all today, but we're going to answer those questions through the next couple of lessons. What some great men in the past have said about the Bible, many of our presidents have said great things about the Word of God. Patrick Henry, a great statesman of years gone by, said, there is a book worth all other books which were ever printed, the Bible. President Ronald Reagan said, "One of the many influences that have shaped the United States into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Word of God." President George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and His Word." Well, I believe that. We need to get back to that statement. General Robert E. Lee said, "In all my perplexities and all my distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength." President Abraham Lincoln said, "I am busily engaged in the study of the Word of God." Boy, I wish our president today was busily engaged in the study of the Word of God. "I believe it is God's Word because it finds me where I am." That's what President Abraham Lincoln said. President Woodrow Wilson said, "When you have read the Bible, you know it is the Word of God because it is the key to your heart, your own happiness, and your own duty." President Theodore Roosevelt said, "A thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education." President Ulysses S. Grant, "Hold fast to the Bible as the anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts in your heart and practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book we are indebted for all the progress made in true civilization, and to this we must look as our guide to the future." These are our leaders of our country at times of great distresses in our nation's history, and they leaned on the Word of God. Mark Twain, a famous writer, said, "Most people are bothered by those passages in Scripture which they cannot understand. But as for me, I always notice that the passages in Scripture which trouble me most are those which I do understand." Convicting. So how did we get our Bible? The Bible is the inspired Word of God. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. These are not unfamiliar portions of Scripture, but again, these are Bible-based convictions, so we must look at the Bible to see where our convictions come from. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look with me in verse 16. All Scripture. How much is that? All. That's pretty, we go back to grade school. How many is all? Well, everything. Everything. All of it. The whole full amount. All of this. All Scripture. Well, even those parts that seem contradictory. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much of it? All. What do you hold in your hand? The inspired Word of God. Even the parts you don't understand, or even the parts you don't agree with, it is all the Word of God. It is not your place to say, "Well, that's not part of the Word of God," or "That's not the Word of God. This contains the Word of God." Well, show me which part's the Word of God and which part's not. We can't do that. This is the inspired Word of God, all of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It means in a perfect state of mind, no. It means in a right course, going towards perfection. Well, we can't be perfect until we get to heaven. We get the glorified body. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So how much of the Scripture is inspired? All. Come on, class. How much of the Scripture is inspired? All of it. All right, notice in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, look with me in verse 19. We're looking at how we got our Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word." Who's writing the book of 2 Peter? Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But Peter is writing this. Peter was known in the Scriptures for cursing and denying his Savior. Peter's done a lot of growing since that day. He's been forgiven. And he comes to this place in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." He saw Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. He walked on the water. He was there at the miracles of Christ. He says, "I have a more sure word of prophecy than what my eyes can see. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." These are not my words, Peter is saying. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit of God inspired these men and gave these men the words to write. Now, yes, they're all different men, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, but there's over 40 authors in the Word of God with the Holy Spirit inspiring each of them. He uses their knowledge. He uses their education. He uses their vocabulary. He uses their cultural knowledge when he writes the Word of God. But it's the Holy Spirit's inspired words. So how did we get the Bible? It's inspired. The Bible consists of 66 books that were written over a span of approximately 1,500 years. Now, my Bible does not have a center section called the Apocrypha. I pray yours does not. Those are not inspired books. The Bible consists of 66 books. The writing covered a span of over 1,500 years. And there was more than 40 different men in positions of kings, prophets, leaders, and followers of Christ that were used by God to write this book. And they're all in agreement. Amen. They're all in agreement. And the theme throughout the book never changes. It's all about Christ. It's all about the love of God. It's all about bringing man to a redemption knowledge of Christ. You can't do that with 40 different writers over 1,500 years to write one book. That's God, and it's inspired by God. The Bible is divided, of course, into two divisions. These divisions we call testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The testament also means covenant. So it could be the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Covenant of the law and the covenant of grace. A covenant shows a relationship between man and God. And that's what we hold in our Bibles in these divisions. The Old Testament consists of 39 books. There are 5 books of the law. There are 12 books of history. There are 5 books of poetry. And there's 17 books of prophecy in the Old Testament. They all have a specific message, but they all are linked together. The New Testament consists of 27 books, 4 books of the gospel records. We don't have 4 gospels. We have 4 gospel records. It's eyewitness accounts of what happened. If we had 4 men standing at the intersection of Maine and Atkinson today and just stood there and watched what happened today on 4 different corners, we would get 4 different ideas or viewpoints of what happened. These men that wrote the gospel records inspired by God gave us their viewpoint to specific groups of people. The church, the Jews, the Greeks. The Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew with some Aramaic throughout it. The New Testament was written primarily in Koine Greek, or the common Greek of the day, known by the entire world through the Greek and Roman empires. So what is the Bible? What is a definition of the Bible? The Bible is God's finished written word in which He has revealed His person, His work, and His will for mankind. That's what the Bible is. So what is the origin of the Bible? Its origin is God. These were not thought up or dreamed up by men. We've seen that. This is written by the Word of God. This is written by the instruction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. So what is the character of the Bible? It is finished and it is written. There is no new prophecy. This book has been completed, and it says in the Bible it is settled forever in heaven. We can't add to it. It tells us that in Revelation. We are cursed if we add to this book or take away from this book. So if I make a new translation of the Word of God and I go back to the original languages and I try to make a new translation and I take portions out or I add portions, I am accursed by God. So what is the content of the Bible? It describes who God is. How would we know who God is and what God is without the Bible? We would not. It tells us and describes to us who God is and what God is. It describes the work of God. What He has done, what He is doing, and what He is going to do. That is the content of the Word of God. So by description, the Bible refers to itself by many names. There are revered titles. In the Old Testament, There are phrases like the Word of God came, or thus saith the Lord. So you know it's the Word of God. They're found over 3,800 times in the Old Testament. These are sayings of God. Thus saith the Lord. Or the Word of God came unto me, or unto David, or unto Jeremiah. The Word of God came 3,800 times. But it's also referred to as the book. Look with me in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 7. Psalm 40 and verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. One of the revered titles of the Scriptures is the book. And we have a version out there today on bookshelves today in stores called the book. Not from the original correct text. I don't recommend getting a copy of it. But in Psalm 40 verse 7 it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Look in Hebrews 10:7. Again, it'll say the book. In Hebrews... Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, the Word of God says, then said I, lo, I come. It is a repeat of Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. The book is one of the titles of the Word of God. It gives itself. Then in Hebrews 4, just a couple chapters back, we have the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. In verse 17, the Word of God says, For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. The Word of God. One of the titles the Bible gives itself. And then once more in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Word of God. One of the titles the Bible gives itself is the Word of God. Then Jesus talks about the Word of God in Mark chapter 12, in verse number 10. Mark 12, 10. Jesus is speaking, and it says, And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Have ye not read this scripture? And we call it the scriptures at times. The Word of God. Jesus Christ called it the scripture. Again, in Matthew 21, we see the same. Matthew 21 and verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The scriptures. Matthew 22 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. The scriptures. And then once more in John 5 and verse 39. Very familiar portion of scripture here. John 5, 39. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. A title that the Word of God gives itself. And here we see in the gospel records, Jesus calling it the Scriptures. Mark used this title at the crucifixion in Mark 15, 28. Paul uses this title in 2 Timothy 3:15. And there are numerous other additional times this title is found in the King James Version of the Scriptures. I love to use the Word of God. I love to use the Scriptures. I love to use the book, because that is what the Bible calls itself. But then, let's go over to Psalm 119. And this, you have the book, you have the Word of God, you have the Scriptures. There's many other titles we could look at. But then you have Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 gives numerous verses, numerous titles in these verses of the Word of God. We can't read the whole Psalm 119 today, but go home tonight or tomorrow or this week, do your study on Psalm 119 and look for all the titles given to the Word of God in this Psalm. I'll give you some examples. The law of the Lord, His testimonies, His ways, Thy precepts, Thy statutes, Thy commandments, Thy righteous judgment, Thy word of truth, Thine ordinances. Those are just a sampling of what you will find in Psalm 119 of titles of the Word of God. So why is the Bible necessary? Why do we need to read it? Why do we need to cherish it? Why do we need to study it? Why do we need to make it part of our lives? Hasn't God revealed Himself to mankind in other ways? Well, sure He has. Let's just take, for example, creation. God has revealed Himself through creation. I love to walk through the woods, not at this time of the year when the pollen's all falling out, but I love to walk through the woods or walk through a field full of flowers or just to see nature or look up at the night sky. I praise the Lord where we live, there's very few street lights. You can look up and actually see the stars. Look with me in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, about how God has revealed Himself through creation. Psalm 19, look at verse 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. What declares the glory of God? The heavens. Who created the heavens? God. Why shouldn't they testify of God? He's the Creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. We could spend time there. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. His creation manifests and speaks of a creator, of a God that has created it. All people, you go to any corner of the world today, even in the deepest, darkest, remotest parts of the world today, all people know by God's handiwork that there is a God. They might not know the one true God, but they know there is something above what they see. Someone created the heavens. Someone created this earth. Someone has made the sun go up and the moon to come up. They know and they are worshiping the Creator, maybe not through the knowledge of the true God, but they have knowledge that God's handiwork. He has revealed Himself through that creation. God has revealed Himself through conscience. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. He's revealed Himself. We're saying, why is the Bible necessary? Hasn't God revealed Himself to mankind in other ways? Well, sure, He's revealed Himself through creation. He's revealed Himself through conscience. Look with me in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Not to them, but in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And you could continue reading that all the way to verse 32. God has revealed Himself to mankind through their conscience. In verse 20, it says, the invisible things of Him. And then it says in the latter part of verse 20, so that they are without excuse. All men are without excuse because God has placed in them a conscience that makes all men realize that there is someone to give reverence to. So all of mankind are either worshiping God, the one true God, they're worshiping a false God, or they're worshiping self. So why do we need the Bible if God has revealed Himself through creation and through conscience, as we've already seen in the Scriptures? Because neither creation, neither conscience voice the gospel. Salvation would never be known without the holy Word of God. But as important as that is, and that is so important, the most important decision you can make in your life is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He's the only way to get to heaven. And the Bible teaches us that. Not creation, not conscience, but the Bible. But it also teaches us about separation. It teaches us about sanctification. It teaches us about a surrendered heart and a surrendered will. It teaches us about service and serving others. Creation can't teach us that. Our conscience can't teach us that. Only the words of the Word of God can teach us those things. So why is the Bible important? We can receive and understand knowledge that we must be saved through this book. You know, when we're leading and talking to someone about Christ, we don't just talk about the Scriptures. We want to show them the Scriptures. Go to Romans 3:10. Go to Romans 3:23. Go to John 3:16. Go to Romans 5:8. Go to Romans 10:9-13. And show them and read to them from the Word of God. Because this is the book. This is the book that is inspired by God. And the Holy Spirit uses these words to convict the heart of the sinner. When I got saved, I didn't just hear the Word of God. They took me into office and they shared with me the Word of God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I was already under conviction from the preaching of the Word of God. And then when they shared with me from the Scriptures my need of a Savior, that's all it took. Now, if I had taken out a book of philosophy, or if they had taken out a book of philosophy and showed me how I was a good man or not a good man, and my ethics were not all correctly aligned, there's no power in the conviction of a book. There is conviction from the Word of God. That is why we need. That is why it's necessary. So how did we receive God's Word? Did it just magically appear while sleeping under a, or some person was sleeping under a tree and some angel came up with some tablets and said, here's the Word of God? You know, there's a religion that's based on that. An angel comes up with some tablets, golden tablets, says, here's God's Word. No, that's not how I got my Bible. So I went to the Christian bookstore and I bought the Bible. Yes, but how did we originally get God's Word? I'm going to say something here. I love my Bible. I love my King James Bible. Now, I don't love King James. He was not a godly man. Now, he had some godly wisdom to bring some godly men together to study what was remaining of the original transcripts and papyri and scrolls. He had some godly... I don't love King James of England. I don't worship King James. But I love the King James Version of the Bible. I didn't say the New King James. We'll do a study. I'm going to show you why I don't use the New King James. And then I'm going to show you why we don't use the Revised Standard Version or the NIV or the ESV or the CIV. And there's all kinds of acronyms out there. There's a reason why this church and from that pulpit, we do not use anything but the King James Version of the Scriptures. You'll say, well, there's not anything wrong with those versions. They're just easier to read. They have changed the Word of God. If you will take a study of those, and we will look at some of these things, and you will look and say, a virgin shall conceive. They have changed virgin to a little maid. Well, that's not the same thing. It's more miraculous for a virgin to give birth than a little maid or a little maiden or a young girl. The Bible portion of Scripture where it says, without the remission of sin, there is no without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. A large majority of those new translations have taken that whole verse out. Now, you tell me, is that changing the Word of God? Yes, it is. And then there's Bibles out there that change the gender, so it's gender neutral. Oh my, that's changing the Word of God. I love my Bible. I love the King James Version of the Bible, and I particularly love the Scofield King James Version of the Bible. Now, I don't agree with everything Scofield says, but he has had some godly wisdom. You have to find you a Bible, a King James Version of the Bible. You know, John R. Rice has a Bible in the King James Version. The Thompson Chain has a version of the King James. There's different versions of study Bibles, or they're just King James Bibles. You find the one that works for you, but make sure it's a King James Version of the Bible. Because in the next few weeks, we're going to look at specifics. Now, I'm going to bring some versions of the Bible. I'm not going up there. But right here, I keep them bundled up. I tell you, I don't pull them out except when I teach this lesson. And I have some Bibles that are not the Word of God. And I only use them to show you what this Bible says versus the Word of God. And I tell you, I keep them things, you can ask my wife, I keep those things bound. I never take them out until I teach this lesson. They're in a wrap, they got a belt around them, they're covered up. I tell you, I don't even want to see them until I teach this lesson, because it is so important to understand why you believe what you believe. Maybe you've questioned, why doesn't the preacher preach out of the New King James? It's easier to understand. Or why doesn't he use the NIV or the RSV? There is a reason, because we have the Word of God right here. We don't need anything else. This has not been changed. This is the preserved Word of God. I'm out of time. We'll look at this in the next couple weeks. I'm not going to rush through this. This is too important. You must understand. I've drawn a line in sand. I am not going to use the New King James. And I have Bible reasons why I will not use the New King James. I will not use an NIV or an RSV or all those other V's. There's a Bible reason. And if you'll stay with me, I'll take you through it. And I pray the Lord would just help you to see why we believe what we believe. Because I've drawn a line in the sand, and I'm not budging. Until I die, I'm going to use a King James Bible. Amen. It's not because of King James. It's because of the words that are within the King James. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. I pray that you would help us through these next couple of weeks. People are not going to be happy. People are not going to be offended. It's inevitable. They love their Bible. They love the easiness of it to read. Lord, help us to teach this with love and compassion, but with truth. Sharing with this group and all those that hear this later on why we take a stand on this book. It is the book. It is the holy Word of God. It is the Scriptures. It is the inspired Word of God. Lord, thank you for it. Help us to cherish it. Help us to love it. Help us to read it. Help us to study it. Help us to say, Lord, I love my Bible. Thank you for my Bible. And not take it for granted or leave it on a shelf until Sunday. Bless our pastor in the next hour. Fill him with your strength and with your power. Help the Holy Spirit to speak to all of our hearts with the message you've laid on his. And for all the boys and girls that have come today to Sunday school and for church, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Not just the visitors, but all those that have been here, members. If they're not saved, Lord, let today be their day of salvation. And we will give you the honor and glory and the praise. It's not because of us. It's not because of the bus workers. It's not because of the mom and dads. It's because of you that we will give you the honor and the glory and the praise. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Help us in this study, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it.